Tonight's scripture comes from Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 21 through 26. This should be very familiar to most of you. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be present with us in a very special way as we share your word together. Because one more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As a child, loved back to school. Not, mind you, that I always loved school, but I loved something about going back to school. I loved new school supplies. I loved new clothes, new shoes. There was just something so cool about getting a fresh start. There was something so cool about a new class or classes and a new teacher or new teachers and a whole uncharted school year before me. A chance to do things right, a chance to make sure I did my homework and studied for tests and did all that stuff. Starting out the year, if you will, with a clean record, with a fresh start. Even long after I was out of school and my kids were going back to school, I still had that same sense of anticipation with back to school. And I loved doing all the back-to-school things, buying school supplies, getting them ready for a new year, watching what might unfold for them in a brand new year. Now, if you're a teacher, you probably are not that excited about back-to-school. You probably would much rather be continuing your summer vacation. But, you know, there's a sort of natural ebb and flow to the world we live in. We see it even here in New Jersey in the seasons. You know, we have this beautiful summer this year that slowly starts. The mornings are darker. It's darker earlier. We go into fall. And then fall goes into winter. And then winter back into spring with the promise of new life. And I always think it's kind of cool to line up our spiritual life with the flow of life around us. And so to me, just like the church calendar provides us different times in the year to sort of rededicate ourselves, to refocus, you know, on the incarnation during Advent, in the suffering of Jesus during Lent, in the power of the resurrection during Easter, in the pouring out of God's Spirit on Pentecost, just as the church calendar gives us an opportunity to experience different things in our spiritual life, to take a moment to stop and look and examine. I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to do that as the season changes, as we go from the longer, lazier days of summer back into the cooler, a little bit darker, more filled with activities, fall. And so it's a perfect opportunity for us to stop. Just as we're getting ready to, as if we were getting ready to start a new school year, to start a new spiritual year, if it were, to give us a chance to say, you know what, God, I want a little more of you. Or you know what, God, I'd love to see you transform my laziness or my anxiety or my worry or my fear or maybe my bad habits or maybe my complacency. I'd love to get a fresh start. And you know, as I was thinking about all this and I was looking through some of my favorite new passages, some of my favorite passages in the scriptures that talk about new things, You know, from 2 Corinthians, when Paul reminds us that if anybody is in Christ, that one is new creation. The old is gone. The one who sits on the throne in the book of Revelation says this, "Behold, I am making all things new." God, through the prophet Isaiah, reminds us. He says, "Look, watch, see, because I'm doing a new thing, and it's springing up, and it's bringing new life." Some of my favorite passages that talk about new, the newness of God. And yet I kept coming back again and again and again to this old standby, to this old familiar passage in Lamentations, where we're told about God's love that's steadfast, where we're told about God's mercies, his compassions that are new every morning. And for some reason, it just came alive to my spirit. Because just as we think about a new school year being a new opportunity for a fresh start, we're reminded in this passage, in the middle of this lament, we're reminded that every day is an opportunity for a new start. You know, sometimes we kind of fall into this rut. We fall into this thinking maybe there's no hope, there's no chance to turn around. You know, we'll never change. We'll never be the people that we want to be. We'll never be as serious about God as we want to be. You know, we set out longing to be his people, and we're constantly tripped up by our own humanity, by our own self-centeredness, by the things that get in our way. And it's easy just to kind of throw our hands up in dismay. And then God speaks into those feelings, into those moments in our lives, and he says, "No, no, no, because every day is a fresh start. Every day is a clean slate. Because the steadfast love of God never comes to an end. Every morning he offers us again grace and love and mercy and compassion." And you know, as I was thinking about all that, as I was kind of chewing on this passage, I realize that what's going on here is just way more than getting a fresh start. It's way more than saying it's back to school time, let's sort of take a minute and recommit ourselves to the God who continually calls us to come closer, who continually invites us to have more of him. Because you see, Chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations, actually all 5 chapters of the book of Lamentations, are each one a lament. Each one a song of woe, if you would. Written most likely, most scholars agree, by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. They're also, if you look into the original text, it's just unbelievable. Each chapter as well is an anacrostic, meaning the first word of every line starts with the first, second, third, all the way down letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there are 22 verses in most chapters. But in chapter 3, there are actually 66 chapters. And the first 3 start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second 3 start with the second letter and all the way through. It's unbelievable, the structure, the poetic structure of this lament, of this cry of woe. And I encourage you, if you're not familiar with it, or even if you are familiar with it, when you go home, just to sometime this week crack open your Bible and take a look at Lamentations 3. Because this lament is full of woe. Everything is going wrong, and these laments were probably written sometime around the time of the Babylonian captivity, sometime when the Israelite people were taken off into Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, when they were no longer gathered in Jerusalem, where their king was deposed, if you will, where there's nothing left of this promised land that God had for his people. And things are hard, and things are scary, and things are rough. And the Jeremiah, or whoever it is who wrote this lament, goes on to say these terrible things that are happening to him. The horrible sorrow that he carries in his heart. And then midway down, he says this, and yet the world is falling apart around us. We've lost our land. Our city is captured. God's people no longer are worshiping him in his temple. We're a captive people in a land we don't want to be in. And yet, I still have hope when I remember this. When I remember this, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that his mercies never come to an end, that they are new every morning, that God is with those who are dependent on him, who search for him, who seek him. And in the middle of what looks like a hopeless situation, in the middle of what looks like God has just let his people go because they have abandoned him, because they've worshiped other gods, into that sadness, that tragedy, that horror, if you will, these truths are spoken. And they give Jeremiah, and they give God's people, and they give God's people today hope. That no matter what it looks like around us, this truth we can hold on to. That God's love is steadfast. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. You know, and while we live our lives knowing that we are saved by grace, knowing that there is nothing in us that we do that earns God's favor, even though we know that, we live our lives sometimes like God loves us better if our chart is full of stars. God loves us better if we're the one in the front of the classroom going, "Oh me, oh me," rather than the one slumped in the back row hoping he won't get noticed. And we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves when we start thinking that somehow we did it right. Somehow we earned it. And on the flip side, if we haven't done it right, if we've messed up, if we've screwed up, then we better back out of the door because God's not going to have time for us anymore. But that's not what it is. God's love is steadfast. We're told that while we were still a far way off, while we were still God's enemies, while we had no stars on our chart at all, when there was nothing we had done to even look for God or try to find him, he reconciled us back to him. He reached out to us in Jesus Christ. God's steadfast love. His steadfast love has showered our lives, has taught us in some small way the meaning of grace. And no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how scary the circumstances around us are, no matter if we're not even sure we can see God or we don't even know if he's listening, we're certainly wondering what he's doing. Or if we've wandered so far off the path that we think there is no way back. If our walk with God has become so boring and burdensome and wearying that we're not even sure we want to do it anymore. Into those messes of our lives, God continues to speak this word of hope, this word of truth, this word of regeneration to us, that his steadfast love never ends. His mercies, his compassion, his loving kindness never ceases. Every single morning we wake up, God says, "I want you. I want you. I want you to know me. I want to walk through your day with you. I want to do amazing things in you and through you, even if you're just going to a boring, tiresome, burdensome job. Even if you feel like your life has nothing of value in it. Every single morning, God says, here's my grace. Here's my grace, which is more than enough for everything you need. How many days, how many months and years have I wasted thinking that I have to plod through this mess all by myself? Thinking that if the circumstances don't work out the way I think they should, God isn't moving. How many times, how many days have I spent just walking ahead on my own? Thinking that somehow I have to hold it all together. That if I'm good enough and smart enough and work hard enough, I'll find the relationship with God that I long for. And all that time, God says to me, this morning, today, I want you. It doesn't matter what happened tomorrow, because I've washed you clean, because I've taken your brokenness and your sin, and I've thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. I've removed it from you as far as the east is from the west. And so today is a new day. Today is a fresh start. Today is an opportunity to invite me in to the everyday moments of your life. Today is the opportunity to let me shower you with my steadfast love. To let me wrap my compassions and my mercies around you. So that even if things look wrong, even if the world is out of control, even if it seems like everything's shaking and nothing's safe and you're not sure there's anything to hold on to, you can hold on to me, God says, and I will give you hope in the middle of the worst circumstances of our life. God says, you can have hope because of this truth. I will never stop loving you. I will never let you go. And even when you are unfaithful, I am faithful because I cannot be untrue. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what mountain you may be facing, what situation you may be struggling with, feeling like it's hopeless. What question you're wrestling with, not sure that there's an answer. What part of your life that you're just so unhappy with. What part of your life that you would love to see God burst his way into. But whatever that is, God longs to give us hope tonight. God longs to remind us of his love. He longs to reach down in Jesus Christ and love on us and transform us and go with us and use us and draw us close to him. It's never too late. We've never gone too far. The situation of our life is never too serious, too unsolvable. The mountain is never too high. It's a fresh start. It's a new day. It's a slate wiped clean. It's grace and love and mercy and compassion in abundance. And it's yours and it's mine, simply for the asking. So let's ask him. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are steadfast. We don't even know how to get a good picture of that in our mind because we're tossed about by the circumstances of our life. But we thank you that you're steadfast. We thank you that you love us, not because we've done a lot of good stuff for you, but because we're your children. Lord, we're thankful that what you want to do most is be with us, to be a part of our lives, It's not about just having the right theology, knowing the right doctrine. It's not about doing enough stuff at church. It's not even about reading the Bible enough or praying enough. It's about being in relationship with you. So, Lord God, we would long to go to a better place, a deeper place, a more steady, solid place in our relationship with you. So tonight we're inviting you in to the unknown, to the scary, to the anxiety, to the worry, to our mess. We're inviting you in with your steadfast love, with your mercies and compassion, with your grace, and asking you to make us yours in a bigger and a better and a stronger way than we are now. Lord God, just have your way in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.